guys hear me? Awesome. Okay. Well,
it's great to be back.
It's great to be back. It's great to see you guys again. I love this church. I look forward to coming here. This is our first stop, actually. We have a pretty big tour of the United States planned, but I'm glad we start here because I just love this place. I grew up here. My parents came here for several years, and I just have a lot of memories of this place. And you guys have been so great to us the last few years since we've been here. And I just love being here. So I'll go ahead and get started. I just got a little little PowerPoint thing planned out. First off, ni hao. That's some Chinese for you. I'll give you a little bit of a lesson. That's to say hello, ni hao. And Chinese is kind of a tonal language. There's four tones, five if you count the neutral tone. So this is ni. There's a third tone, goes like this, ni, and that means you. And then hao, which is also a third tone, so it goes hao. Say ni hao means basically you good. So ni hao, are you good? Yes. Okay. And then very simple, if you add a ma, which is neutral, you can say ni hao ma, and that basically means how are you. So ni hao ma, good. And you can just say, you can reply how. All right, so let's try it again. Ni hao ma.
How.
Awesome. All right, cool.
I feel like this is gonna fall off my face. All right, I think it's good.
All right, so this has been a very fun year for us. A lot of changes. Probably the biggest change, we have a baby. She's pretty cool. You guys can see her. Talk to her. She loves to talk now. She doesn't make any sense, but I like to think that she's trying to speak Chinese, so you know, you can just say ni hao to her. She might answer you. In case you don't know who we are, my name is Matt Hanley. My wife, Caitlin, and the baby's name is Juliet. We're missionaries in China. We've been there for the last 2 years, and I feel like we've been doing some good stuff. There's quite a few missionaries over there with us. China is becoming a pretty big mission field, and we're really happy to be a part of that. A lot of good things have been going on in Wuhan, which is where we've been. Wuhan is kind of in the middle of China. It's right on the Yangtze River. It's a big industrial city, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it's a pretty big city, about 11, 12 million, and that's actually not that big, really. I mean, there's bigger cities in China by far. So that's a big city to us, not so much to them. A small city in China is about, you know, 3 or 4 million. That's small. You start a city and it basically starts at 1 million. It seems like everybody just kind of gathers, congregates in one place, and that's a city. And that's happening a lot. In China right now, there's a big migration. You probably read about it. People are moving from the villages and farms to the cities to get jobs. It's a big change in China. Everything's shifting over to, they don't want to call it capitalism, but it really is. It's kind of a capitalist place now. Lots of business going on. Business is booming. China's changing. So that's where we're at. The last year we've been in Wuhan, and we've been working on a lot of things. Mostly a continuation of what we've been doing in the first year. I told you last year that we've been working on orphanage visits. We go into various orphanages throughout China, mostly in the surrounding area around Wuhan. And that's been going really well. The first year we went to one orphanage, and I feel like the group we were able to gather and take there, we were able to do a lot of good. And so this year we decided to expand that. And this year we were able to go to three orphanages, and that was also really, really good. It was a bit different this year. We weren't really planning on getting pregnant. Just sort of happened. And that kind of changed things a little bit. We weren't really able to go to the orphanages when At that time, Caitlin was really pregnant, and there is a lot of disease and stuff in the orphanages. You pretty much have to just bulk up on vitamin C before you go, and just be ready to be sick anyway, because that's how it happens. So we decided that it was a bit too dangerous for us to go this time. So we spent most of our time doing administrative work at the orphanage, setting it up, organizing, planning everything. It was a lot harder this year because we were doing three orphanages instead, and we had a lot more groups. So getting buses, organizing that whole thing, and buying the clothing, books, milk, fruit, and just getting everything ready. So that was kind of our role this year. I wish we could have gone, but we sent a lot of great people to the orphanages, and they did a fantastic job. We had to send a lot of fruit, because they don't have a lot of fruit over there, or it'll be too expensive. So fruit is actually kind of a luxury for them. So when you get the fruit to the orphanage, they just have these huge smiles on their faces. They can't believe it. It's like, oh, wow, fruit, this is great. And our first year, Caitlin told me a story. She had a lot of grapes, and she was passing out grapes, and this old man was there. I guess he worked at the orphanage. And she was just handing out grapes to kids, and she got to this old man, and the old man held out his hands, and he was just so cute looking, I guess. And she just went ahead and gave him the whole bundle, and he just, it's like a whole lot of grapes. He couldn't believe it. And that just was probably the happiest thing that he had all day, just a big bundle of grapes. So fruit is a big thing. They love it, and it's great that we can go and just spread a little joy among the young and old. The kids there have, well, they're orphans. They don't really have a lot. The orphanages, you know, they're not quite up to our standards, but as far as China goes, they're actually pretty decent. The ones we were at, they maintain a pretty good level of cleanliness, and they have some good people working at them. Generally, these are Christian orphanages. Now, that's not something that you hear about too much because it's China. You don't want to talk about it too much. But these kids are given some Christian lessons, and we kind of go and support that and reinforce it. And doing that, we take a lot of books, books of various levels teaching Christian stories. We go and hand out coloring books that the kids can play with. We go and teach songs. We play with the kids mostly. That's really what we're all about. We go and play with the kids and just have fun with them because they don't have a lot of fun. It's just not a very fun place to be at. Generally, their parents kind of drop them off because they can't afford to have them. So they take them to the orphanage, and the kids have to deal with that. Possibly, they just, you know, maybe the kid has something wrong with them, and the parents either don't want to deal with that shame or they can't afford to fix it, so they take them to the orphanage. So there's quite a few kids that have some health problems, mental problems, and it just kind of leads to it leads to a place where we want to go and just be there and be a light, really. So here you can see a couple of pictures. Like I said, it's really not that bad as far as the rest of China. Some places the construction is pretty decent. You might have heard about the earthquakes and how a lot of places in Sichuan had fallen down, schools that had just collapsed. We didn't hear anything about that, so, I mean, as far as the orphanage go, and they look like pretty decent constructions to me, so it's a pretty decent place as far as that goes. Like I said, we passed out some books, and you can see different books, and the kids, you know, they don't have a lot of toys, so they mess around a lot. And this is some weird game. I can't remember the name of it. It's like Chilu or something like that. And I'm horrible at it. Kids will beat me every time. But it's, you might have heard, it's like the white, black pieces, and you have to jump across. It's a lot of fun, I guess, if you're good at it. But. We did bring some toys for the kids, and they'll probably be playing with those for the rest of the year. They just really like, they really love it when we visit. It's like the highlight of their year. And the hardest part is actually after we've been there for a couple of days, we have to leave, and the kids are just, I mean, they start bawling practically because they're so sad that you're going. They've had so much fun. They remember everything that you've taught, and they just want to keep going and keep talking to you and keep being with you. They're really lonely. So very few of these kids will actually be adopted. It's just not... It's not the place that most people go to adopt kids, strangely enough. So most of these kids will be at the orphanage for their entire lives. And they'll get older, and they'll leave and get a job, or they'll stay at the orphanage and just work there. And who knows, they might be there for their entire lives. Besides the orphanage, Caitlin has been doing a lot of good stuff with her women's ministries. Among those, what we call the Pink Light Ministry. I'm going to let her talk about this in just a second. Pink Light Ministry is basically a ministry to the prostitutes in Wuhan. They call it the Pink Light Ministry because these are stores that during the day you wouldn't really be able to tell that there's anything different. It's just a shop on the street. But at night, they put in these pink lights, and they turn the pink lights on, and that's an indicator that this is a place where you can get a prostitute. And so sometimes driving down the streets at night, you'll see pink lights dotting the sides of the road, and that's there's a pretty big prostitution ring in China. You don't hear a lot about it because it's illegal, but they pay off the police look the other way. So generally, you can go down just about any street in Wuhan, and you'll see at least one pink light. And some streets are just loaded with pink lights. So that's been a pretty big area that we wanted to address. And Caitlin's been doing a lot of work. Naturally, this is kind of a women's thing. Guys really can't go. It just makes the girls uncomfortable, and it's just not something that we can do. But Caitlin has been working with a lot of other women there, and she's been doing a good job, so I'm going to let her talk about it for just a second. And I guess I'll be holding the baby.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay. So the Pink Light Ministry... What we do is it's a big collaboration between the foreigners like myself and the Chinese women, and neither one of them can really go about it alone. We need the Chinese women because a lot of the prostitutes, almost all of them, don't speak English. They only speak Chinese. But if just the Chinese girls go, the prostitutes won't let them in. If they see a foreigner, they'll let them in because they're really interested in why does a foreigner want to come to this place. It's also a real international ministry. Besides the Americans, we also have girls from Africa and India working on this. And what we do is we, first of all, we gather to eat together and pray. And then we go out in teams of two. And two people will go into a pink lights establishment while the rest of the girls walk the streets and just pray, usually for about an hour or an hour and a half. And we've tried different ways of ministering to the pink lights. We've gotten a lot of advice from working ministries in Beijing as well as a city, Kunming, in the far west of China. And so we go in and we offer the prostitutes free health checks. And then when they come, we have a little business card for them. And when they come to get free health checks, we can talk to them and minister to them about, you know, getting out of this life, about Jesus, asking them questions like that. So that's really our goal. It's kind of a really sad ministry, especially for the Chinese women. They don't really tend to think about places like this, and it's really hard to see the girls that are there. I met one girl, and she was 16, she said, but she looked like she was about 13. Tiny, tiny girl. And she was there because her family sent her there. She didn't know how to read. She had never learned how to read. And she had, I think, 4 sisters at home younger than her. And her parents needed money, and so that's what she'd been doing for about 3 years. And it's really heartbreaking stuff. All this girl wanted to do was she wanted to learn how to read. And so one of the Chinese sisters set up an appointment with her and was teaching her how to read every week. And she was teaching her how to read by using the Bible. And that was really, really great. We have had some success with this ministry, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But that's something that a lot of people are involved in Wuhan. A second thing that we're involved in is women's ministries. We have a lot of different women's ministries going on. This year, we had 2 in particular, studying the book of Daniel, and a second one on the 5 love languages. The great thing about women's ministries is last year, it was organized mostly by the foreign women. So the foreign women would organize the ministries, and the Chinese women would come and attend. But this year, the Chinese women have been organizing the ministries. The women's ministries, and leading them. So the 5 love languages is led by Chinese Christian women, which I'm really proud of them for doing that. And so that's a continuing thing we do as well. Okay. Also, helping the newcomers. It's kind of strange because Matt and I are some of the oldest people, foreign people there. A lot of them come straight from college, or about 22 and 23, and we've been kind of mentoring them to step into roles as more and more people that have been there a long time leave. We have had a few fun success stories this year. A lot of people have been baptized this year, which is great. Our bathtubs have been busy and full, so the people that have bathtubs have been called to use them, and so that's great. A good thing about the baptisms this year is we've had more men getting baptized, which is good. It seems like the women are going strong. The women are busy, and the men are kind of learning how to be leaders. It's a cultural difference, a very passive culture for the men. So we've been very proud of the men this year. We were studying with one young man who really was interested in studying, but he just wasn't ready to commit. And he knew the Bible, he knew the stories, but he just didn't know what he felt about it or what he thought about it. So during one of the breaks from college, he went home, like most students do, and he talked to his dad about it. And his dad was really interested, and his dad said, "Tell me more. Tell me all that you've told me, and I'll tell you what I think about it." And so he told his dad all of the stories that they had told him. He brought out the Bible, and he looked through the Bible verses with his dad, talking to him about his uncertainty. And after he did that, his dad said, "I want to be baptized right now." And his dad was baptized because of the son's uncertainty. It was so cool. We have had a success with pink lights. We did have one lady who decided to leave the pink lights and go back to her family. We're happy about that. And also, we use the same bus drivers every time we go to the orphanage. We hire the same buses, we hire the same bus drivers. And this year, we had a driver ask us, he said, "Do you mind if I bring my son?" He said, "I don't really know what you people are about, but I really want my son to be like you. I really want my son to help people like you help them." And it was awesome. So his son came along and helped with everything and was a part of everything, which was great. And also, we have a former student named Tony. Tony is someone who just became a Christian last year. We worked with him, we studied with him, and he was baptized early on last year. And since then, he's a fireball. He is everybody on campus, and there are thousands and thousands of students on this campus. Everyone knows Tony Mopping. Everyone. And this year, he is going to graduate from college in China, and he's going to Fried Hardeman University. He wants to study the Bible there, and then he wants to come back to China. And work with missions there, which is, I mean, it's great because we want to be outsourced by the Chinese, you know? And it seems like it's beginning. We're so happy about that. I'll let Matt take over from here.
Okay, so that's basically what we've been doing for the last year. And like I said, this is going to be, this was a year of changes. And Juliet was probably the biggest change, but we have some more changes also. I don't know, I don't really remember how much we talked about this in the newsletter or not, but there we go. I guess I
put pictures of Juliet in here, too.
Forgot about that. Okay.
Juliet. Here she is.
It was a big year of changes because we had Juliet, and that was huge. Like I said, we weren't planning it. It just happened. And we decided that we'd go ahead, Caitlin would go ahead and have her in China. A lot of people thought we were crazy, and maybe they were right. And I'll tell you why. It was a pretty interesting experience. It was an adventure. Juliet was born in February, and after about 86 hours of labor, she was finally born. Caitlin really didn't want to do a C-section, which they're all about in China. I mean, in China, you schedule your C-section months ahead of time. You say, okay, I'm going to come in on this day, you're going to cut me open, you're going to take the baby out, and that's it. Everybody does it that way because it's more efficient, you know. So that's what they're all about. Caitlin really didn't want to do that. And so we just told the doctors we don't want to do this. And after 86 hours, kind of changed her tune a little bit and said, all right, get it out. I don't want it in me anymore. And so they gave her a C-section. There were a few complications, namely that the drugs that they were giving her didn't work, really. So she went into a C-section with no drugs. And they, yeah. She says, she compares it to that part in Alien, when the alien, like, pops out of the guy. It was kind of like that. And, like, if any of you ever seen Princess Bride, like, when Wesley's, like, screaming, like, ah! Like, it's, you know, it's on 50. Oh, you said it to 50. If you've seen that movie. Anyway, Wesley is screaming. She compares it to that. It's like, you can't scream any louder than she did. So, didn't really work out the way they would have hoped, but Juliet was born very healthy. And although, right afterwards, she said she'd never have another kid ever again. Now she's kind of changed her tune a little bit, so we'll see. But that was a pretty interesting experience. Not a lot of foreign babies get born in Wuhan, so our room was kind of like Celebrity Central for a couple of days there. Like, these nurses are just taking every excuse to come in, like, check on the baby. Like, oh, we're just seeing what her feet look like. What? What are you doing in here? And then, you know, another one would come in and help her. And then a third one would come in and help. And then another one would come in and help. And it was just like, you're taking the baby's temperature. I don't think you need five nurses for this. And but there are always a lot of nurses. It was pretty interesting. They made her eat this pig feet soup. It's really good. Apparently that helps bring the milk in. But Caitlin was eating it in the dark one night, and she's like, this tastes kind of funny. And then the next day, she realized, because you could still feel the little hairs on the... And it's sticky. It's really sticky. So it's like you eat it, and your lips like stick together like glue. Weird stuff. So that was her diet the first couple of days afterwards. And luckily, I didn't have to partake of that so much because there was a nice little restaurant downstairs. Oh, yeah, and you can see there's a little toes right there. You can pick those out. That was good stuff. But that was pretty fun. It was an adventure. And we're not really that worse off because of it.
actually have a baby, so that's pretty cool. And she's been a lot of fun. I'm trying to learn Chinese. We're both trying to learn Chinese. I'm trying to learn it well enough so that when she's a year old, I can start speaking to her in Chinese fully. And we'll try and do the whole bilingual thing. The problem with that is that I actually have to learn it first. It's really hard. Chinese is just not the most easy language to get into. In fact, most people say it's the hardest language in the world. I totally believe that. But it's been a lot of fun. And let's see. I guess I put in a lot of pictures. Alright. Anyway. Okay, there we go. Yeah, she's so cute. She doesn't like hats so much, but they have a lot of funny hats over there. All right. Anyway, so the next big change. We've been talking about Wuhan a lot. Wuhan has been a great experience for us. We feel like everything is going great there. There's a lot of good people there. They're doing a lot of good work. And I feel like Wuhan is just they have a really good, solid team there right now. Most people just come for a year and then leave. University students, they'll show up for a year. After the year's over, they go home, they get a job, they do whatever. It hasn't been like that this year. This year we've had tons of people come, and they want to stay. They want to keep doing what they're doing. And so we're really happy about that. Like I said, we've been mentoring them. Or Caitlin said we've been mentoring them and helping them get used to the city. And I feel like we've helped a lot, but they really just have the fire. They don't really need our help. Because they want to be there, and they want to stay there. And that's good, because this year has been really difficult for me. I've been sick pretty much all year. Been in the hospital on average every 6 weeks. And the air in Wuhan is just incredibly dirty. It's a big industrial city, lots of pollution. They're pumping stuff into the air, and I don't know what it is. Not everybody has these kinds of problems, but I just have not been able to breathe all year long. Especially the last 2 months that I was there, I developed a cough that just would not go away. And it was keeping me awake at night. It was causing problems at work because I'm trying to teach lessons, and every 5 seconds I'm having a cough, and I just wasn't very good. And Juliet started developing kind of a wheeze, and I was worried that she would have the same susceptibility that I did. And because of that, we started kind of looking into other places we could go. The company that I've been working for this year, they actually have a branch in Shanghai. And so I looked into transferring, and we've been to Shanghai a couple of times. It's a bigger city, so you'd think it'd be more polluted, but actually it's less of an industrial city. It's a pretty big international city, but there is pollution. It's a little less and a different type. Not so many factories spewing who knows what. So we've been there, and I haven't noticed the problem as much. So we're hoping that my health won't cause a problem as we're trying to spread the word. But we will be moving to Shanghai next year. It's going to be a pretty big change, but we know some people there. I think that they can help us get right back into what we've been doing, so we won't have to spend a year getting contacts and everything. We'll just be able to jump right in. So I'm really happy about that. And like I said, I'm not afraid to leave Wuhan in a state of who knows what. I know the people there, and they're going to do a great job. I have absolute confidence in their abilities. So, Shanghai. One of the big things that we're really looking forward to is doing more of the same. But we're also happy that after going to Shanghai, this will be the last year that we'll need to be supported. That's what we're hoping. It's always been a goal of ours to be self-supported in China. And I think we'll be able to do it after this year. So that's something we're pretty happy about. Shanghai, you probably heard of it. And I guess I forgot to mention this. If I say Shanghai, you guys are probably used to hearing Shanghai. But the A in Chinese, it's like you pronounce like ah. So Wuhan, it's like W-U-H-A-N, it's Wuhan. Shanghai, S-H-A. So that's just how they do it. They say Shanghai. We say Shanghai. If I say Shanghai, you know what I'm talking about. Shanghai's a pretty big city. You can see it on the map right there. It's a huge city. It's like 21 million people. It's ridiculously huge. I'm a little intimidated by that, but Wuhan is about 12, 13. So I figure after you get past 10 million, you know, a couple extra million really isn't going to make that much of a difference. It's a big city. It's not really that much different from any other city, except it's way huger. There is some pollution. We've been to Shanghai. I've been running in Shanghai. Didn't kill me. Wuhan almost did kill me. I tried to go running in Wuhan, and I developed a lung infection the next day. Actually, I'm pretty sure I developed an infection that day, but the next day I was dying. So it's better. Still not great, but it's better. These are just some pictures of Shanghai. Probably seen a couple of them. It's a pretty famous city. It's just a huge city. And we've got some contacts there, and I'm pretty sure we'll just be able to jump right in, keep doing what we've been doing, which is more of the same. But also, we'll be able to do some kids' Bible classes. The company I work for, I teach kindergarten now, actually. They allow us to teach Bible stories to the kids, which I've been doing, and I'll be able to do more of now. Shanghai's a bit more open to that sort of thing. It's a big international city, so they're more used to a foreign influence, and that's good. So we'll be able to do more of that. Also, I guess we'll start working on some parenting missions, because, you know, now we are with them, so might as well. We'll work on that. Couples ministries, we'll be doing some more work with that, and that'll be good. I'm looking forward to all of that. So, that's about it. Right now, we are kind of looking for a little bit of help. It's really expensive for us to be back. Everything's in dollars again, and that's just different. And I'm sure you've seen the gas prices. I don't need to tell you about that. And that's just been crazy. We really weren't expecting to have to spend so much money this summer, but it turns out that we're going to. So we do have some summer travel costs, and that's just unfortunate. And I'd like to just go ahead. I don't know how much time do we have, I guess. I'd like to open it up to some questions if anybody has them. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, Shanghai.
You said you have contacts there. Is there like an established church or?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
How many people would be in it if there is?
Well, there's many established churches. There's lots of house churches, and we have some contact with that. The people that I know there are generally the ones that I've been training with during the summers for my job. I'll meet with the teachers that work there, because Wuhan, the school I'm at, was a first-year school, so I was trained in Shanghai. So I met a lot of the people there, and through them we made other contacts. Now all the people that I met last year are still there. So I have those contacts, as well as the contacts through the established churches. As far as the actual number, I'm not really sure. I know there's quite a few. I mean, it's a huge city, and I know that there's house churches spread throughout the city. So, really, we're going to be going and just finding where there's a need and going there. So that's kind of what we did in Wuhan, and it's the same setup, so I imagine we're the same way. Actually, we're really lucky. The company sets us up with housing. The housing in Shanghai is much more expensive than in other cities, but our company gives us subsidized housing, so that makes it a lot cheaper and more readily available. Well,
Who built it? I mean, that's a pretty nice building, I thought.
Do you know Caitlin?
I just know that there's different Christian ministries that sponsor them. There's one ministry in particular. I think it's, I don't know what their logo is, but I'm not sure what their name is.
Yeah.
Actually, one of
it's a well-built place, but they're definitely lacking in a lot of things that we would think of as necessities. The water really isn't that clean, and that's how it is all over China. We don't drink anything out of the tap. We close our eyes when we take showers. I'm serious. You get little sores around your eyelids if you keep them open. You brush your teeth with the water, and you get sores in your mouth. It's just bad water, and you don't want to drink it, and you don't want to come in too much contact with it. Even boiling some eggs, we're careful. It's like, we don't want to get sick. So everything we do, we have to watch out with the water.
Is Shanghai as hot as Wuhan? I know in your letters you talked about
horrible
heat.
I've heard that Shanghai is pretty hot, but it's not as hot. Wuhan is known as one of the four furnaces of China. So luckily, I'm really glad that we come home for the summer, because about right now, and in the next month or so, it'll just get unbearably hot. When we came back last year, we met some Australians, actually, and it was like the first week we'd been back, and we just couldn't believe how hot it was. And they're like, oh, you think this is hot? I mean, we've been here all summer. This is nice. And it was like over 100, and they were saying it was nice. So it gets really hot in Wuhan. I don't think it's as bad in Shanghai, although I've heard the winters are pretty cold. So I'm not really sure. Yeah.
What have you found to be the most effective way to reach the Chinese with the gospel?
Well, as with anywhere, I think it depends upon the person, but generally, and by that I mean you talk to the person and find out, you know, who they are. And that's really kind of been our approach is, you talk to the person, you be with the person. You don't necessarily rely on any given structure or argument to sway them. They're really interested in relationships. And I think that's how pretty much it works everywhere, is you build a relationship, you be friends with this person, and you love them as people. And you find out what their needs are, and you try and address those. And so it's pretty easy to do is basic conversation. A lot of them, they're still learning English. You know, they're not fluent. A lot of them can speak English very well, but they still struggle to get meaning across. And so we just talk to them and develop relationships with them over a cup of coffee or green tea.